Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Japan Archives episode 91. After we had our Christmas Jesus, it is nice to see the listen count going back up again now that we're doing it consistently. Of course, we're still not back up to where we used to be with our weekly listens, but you know, I think that's fair enough at this point. We've been off and on so many times, but we're going to stay. We're going to keep consistent this time, I promise. We've both promised to ourselves, and our new schedule definitely works out way better. Like, we can definitely do this new schedule, so that's good. Today's episode, episode 91, we're looking into... So this episode, we're going to look into... We're going to have to come back to this topic because I found a journal article which then expanded into the whole blind guild as a whole.
Okay, before you go any further, I did my very preliminary research.
Oh, yes, I forgot to ask you.
I'm not sure that I'm on the same topic that you are, and I'm really curious to see.
Oh, well, if we're not, it'd be so interesting to hear what you've come up with, because I'm looking at people who were blind who were also bankers in the Edo period. What did you find?
No, somehow I got into kabuki.
Well, I do very briefly mention it right at the start, because I found out this was a much bigger topic than I initially thought, because there was a whole guild of blind people for different jobs. Masseurs, or bankers, or kabuki players, all of that seems to fall into the remit of this blind guild. But I'm just concentrating on the bankers today. A little bit of a dive into this bigger topic, I suppose. But if you're ready, Heather, I'm good to go.
I think I'm good to go.
So the blind bankers of the Edo period, which is also known as the Tokugawa period, there was a surprising amount of professions that were actually available to the blind or the visually impaired, from acupuncture to playing the koto to even performing in kabuki, like you said, and also, weirdly enough, creating historical documents. The blind were definitely a big part of Edo period society, and even before then. They even took a main role in reciting and creating the epic tale of the Heike, which was an epic account of the Genpei War between the clans of the Taira and the Minamoto. We see this group of people also being retainers for people high up in society, for the shoguns, the daimyo, as well as wealthy families, and they would work for them throughout their entire lives. This guild in the Edo period came to be known as the Todo, or the Todo-za, which could translate to Our Way Guild, which was created to help with the economic and political activities of the blind and the visually impaired. Now, whereas the headquarters was itself based in Kyoto, a large chunk of the guild did find themselves living in Edo, which is where we're going to look today at the bankers who worked here. But like I said, we're here to look at the bankers that formed part of this guild, and we're just going to dip our feet into this topic until we come back to them in their entirety. I want to look at the guild as a whole. Didn't realize it was as extensive as this, because as usual, I always end up finding random journal articles which just expand the topic even more. So there we go. But that's good. It means we have more to talk about later.
And we're adopting journical now as an official term.
I did say journical, didn't I?
It's phenomenal and I love it. That's a great word.
Journical is now canon for the show.
It is.
So yes, I found a journical and it was quite extensive, like a 32-page journal. But I specifically looked only for the banking-related stuff as well as the other news articles. So looking at the members of the guild who turned into the money-lending business... First of all, it's rather a surprising turn of events that such a thing could have even occurred. As we know, even to this day, Japan is still a rather There is a hierarchy in Japan. Let's go with that. There's a hierarchy in Japan still. And you can even see it right now in, you know, the forms of
a lot of things.
Jobs and salarymen. Like a lot of the time, the person who's in charge is basically the person who's been there the longest. Not necessarily the person who's good at their job. It's just you've been there the longest, you get to be the top dog. So it still exists in modern Japan. And of course, blind or visually impaired would have been a lower rung of society back then because, you know, they couldn't, in theory, do as much. In addition to that, they were almost classed as a group of people that were known as the Hinin. I think we mentioned them once very long ago, still haven't looked into them, which could translate as non-human people. And they fulfilled roles such as begging, street performances, or even the burial of executed people. And the blind were fortunately never classed as part of the Hinin, which therefore allowed them to have, in theory, some form of better role within society. Though, of course, the prospect of money lending was still seen as something reserved for the higher merchant class. So the question remains then, how did they manage to get this role? And interesting enough, like you mentioned, kabuki and performing, it all kind of stemmed back to the initial creation of the members, which performed the tale of the Heike. The blind or visually impaired people had strong connections back then to the royal court and major clans such as Minamoto. And so they also like coaxed up this legend about how the first blind lute players of Japan were taught by a 9th century imperial prince known as Prince Sanayasu, a bit like other clans who are trying to link themselves to divinities to increase their status. The blind guild was also trying to do the same, so they were linking themselves to a higher lineage, and all of these things eventually came together and they could rise above their station, as it could have been seen back then. So during the time of the Tokugawa shogunate, of course, the Emperor of Japan during this time, it was the shogunate, they were nothing more than a figurehead for Japan at this time. But due to the blind guild's association with previous high-ranking houses and their constant connection still to the imperial family, who, you know, they also claim descent from the sun goddess themselves, the royal family, they somehow managed to argue successfully that they were answering to a higher power and authority in Japan because of their important connections. And it was these connections which allowed this guild to be exempt from the caste system of Japan that was happening at the time, which allowed them to rise up above their what would have been a lower status. And this is what allowed them to become bankers, but it even garnered them an extra bonus of immunity from any government debt amnesty. So what do we mean by this? In terms of the Blind Bankers Guild, at times the government would turn around during monetary disputes and kind of wash their hands of the problem, in essence telling the parties involved they had to figure it out for themselves. If the parties involved included one of a higher rank, of course ultimately the victor was going to be the one with the higher rank. They were more important in society. Even if they were in the wrong, they would be the winner, because that's just how society played out. But this guild were immune to such a thing. So the government never turned around and said, figure it out yourself. And even if they did, if the person was of a substantially high rank, they still had to pay back to the bankers' guild because they were exempt from these practices. We even have records saying that members of this blind guild would stand outside the homes of people who owed them money, throwing obscenities at them and telling everyone that they had a giant debt and that they could and would not pay it back. Such tactics, wow, because it's Japan, with Japan being linked very much to honor and shame, the shame of being admonished in public would always ensure that the blind guild got back all of their money. Of course, it was a good tactic, but it didn't gain the blind guild many fans or friends over the years.
No.
But of course, the blind guild weren't the only money lenders in Japan, and all money lenders were known to use this tactic. However, it seems that the blind bankers were most affected by this bad image it was being created. Why did the people begin to need loans in the first place? Why did these people find the perfect opportunity to start giving money out to people? Well, many of the warrior class were moved into urban areas during the beginning of the 17th century. And during that time, you know, there's suddenly a lot more people together. Currency was in short supply because lots of people were now coming together. Productivity went up. There was a higher demand for goods. And therefore, monetary loans were almost a necessity for people because there wasn't enough going around anyway. So they went to these people for loans.
Education as well, be part of that?
I didn't see anything that mentioned education. education. The only thing I found out, it wasn't relating to education, but you could use money to buy higher ranks in society and boost yourself up.
Huh.
Which you could also get a loan for. You get a loan for all this money, you pay, you can get a higher rank, you go up in society. So education might not necessarily, as long as you were rich, or at least you had the loan to get what you needed, you could rise up in society a little bit. So because of all this need for monetary loans for people now in the urban areas, they became an extraordinarily powerful guild over the course of the Edo period. And this is where things start going wrong for them, as we draw to a close on our initial look into the Bankers Guild. They grew so much in power that the shogunate actually became alarmed by the power of their guild. They started to act more like a bank instead of a money lending service, to the point where they were not just lending out their own money, but they were also giving out the money of others that had been deposited with them, acting like a bank, investing and things like that. The shogunate were not happy about that. They were not a bank. They were just there to lend people money, which was then obviously to be repaid. So in 1712, the shogunate limited them somewhat in the loans that they could give. And one such rule, going back to the whole paying to rise up in society, one rule was to not allow loans to be given to ronin or townspeople who were falsely stating they wanted to have a loan to use the money to get a higher rank in society. Now, of course, I was thinking when I read this research, how would they have known it was false? They come to you saying, I want this money so I can get a higher rank. How do they prove that this is not true? This is a lie. So I'm not sure as to how successful that specific rule was. Because, you know, if I came to you asking for some money, saying like, oh, I want some money because I want to rise up in society, because I know that's an easy way to get money. Like, even if I'm lying about it, you can't disprove it, surely.
Is it like a gray area where...
Well, Japan loves its gray areas in law. It's very annoying.
That's another topic for another day.
Yep.
But it could be used as a way to accuse and keep the money lending in line so that they would be less encouraged. Like, well, we can't prove not that it is a false or true statement, so they would possibly try to avoid even touching those. So
it's not like they have to prove it's a lie. They have to prove that it's true. So they have to be more careful. Like, they need like ultimate proof that you are going to use this money for this purpose.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
Plus the authorities could go, well, you know, it looks like it's this. No, it's not that. It's true. Like, well, we see it as false and we're in charge and you lose. So, I mean, obviously the ultimate authority would have the power, even if it was a true statement too.
Very true. So after this 1712 law, to say we then see in the 1770s, the problem continued, and it rose to the point where the shogunate started arresting more of the notorious loan sharks of the Blind Bankers Guild, even sentencing some to banishment, or even the most extreme cases, sentencing them to death for their acts. In 1778, we see some of the worst of this when we have records that a retainer by the name of Mori Chuemon and his son actually had to flee Edo because they had no means of repaying what they actually owed to the Blind Bankers Guild. And this ultimately led to a string of arrests and the discovery that the normal interest rate of 30% was not always being followed by this Bankers Guild. For some, it was 60%. And for a very unfortunate few, the interest rate was given at 100%. So they were paying back double.
Did they say who was in this unfortunate category?
It did not, unfortunately. But I hope more research will give me a few names, because that is very unfortunate. Such was the money making at this point of the guild. Many of them were becoming exceedingly rich. However, it did tarnish the image of the blind and visually impaired community as a whole, because everyone started to think that if you were blind or visually impaired, you were just out to get people's money, even if that wasn't your job, even if you were a masseur or a shampooer or a, you know, even in kabuki and things. If you were blind or visually impaired, you started to have that bad image associated with you because of the blind bankers. Now, some writings came to be published saying things such as audacious and selfish and especially cruel, thinking of nothing but how to trick and exploit people. That is what people started to think of the bankers. And there also became an interesting saying that went around Edo at the time, which said that if you split a blind man's chest, gold was bound to fall out.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. And to bring a close to the Blind Bankers Guild, such was the bad image now of this group of people. There was even medical texts. Of course, they weren't true. But medical texts started being written by doctors and wannabe physicians saying that blindness was caused by immoral and immodest behavior. Thus, basically saying that this guild took your money and they were blind because they're just bad people. You're blind because you're bad. Which again would have affected anyone else who wasn't a blind banker but was in a different profession. To bring it to a close, because of this increasingly bad image and because they were so powerful at this point, the guild was disbanded during the Meiji Restoration.
Makes sense with the alignment of everything. Did the... So I haven't heard at this point in time, because we were well past Meiji and Edo, how long did that myth of blindness being a symbol of evilness, did it say how long that lasted after the guild was broken up? Was it something that the medical journals took out pretty quickly, or did it persist for a long time? Like, that's pretty horrifying.
I'm not sure if it did persist. I would hope it didn't.
Yeah.
But of course, even if after the guild was disbanded, there was not necessarily a true understanding still back then of blindness or visual impairedness and the causes as well as potential cures. So it probably did linger, but less as a, I guess, stated fact, but more of a, not superstition, but more like a rumor or just a saying. It's like, oh, you see that type of person, like you think this, even if it's not true. But I was reading that actually the Blind Guild in a way does live on to this day, because a good amount of acupuncturists still registered in Japan are visually impaired or blind.
Ah, that's really fascinating. I hadn't heard that. And it really makes a lot of sense, because you're relying on a lot of, like, you're not, you can rely on the touch. You can, it's actually probably more beneficial to,
because you your other senses become heightened. So like the feeling of touch would be heightened to the point where you could just feel where you need to apply the acupuncture and things.
Have you had acupuncture done before? I've had it one time.
No, because it sounds and looks horrific. In my opinion, I don't think I would. You couldn't pay me to do it.
I think I had a thing for a discount on it, and it was an interesting experience. I know
did
some
it
people.
Work?
Well, I don't remember what I got it for. I think it was just general relaxation, and I mean, also it was a acupuncture and massage, so I have no idea, because the massage really helped with the relaxation part. Maybe it enhanced it, because I got, I think, massage first and acupuncture after. But it felt very, it was the strangest feeling. It felt like almost like electrical currents on my body. It was, I think I only had it done in certain spots. Like, it wasn't all over. It was a few here and a few there, but I don't like needles. And so it was jarring. I could not watch. And once the needles ran, I was like, nope, I'm just going to look forward and close my eyes. But the sensation, because I guess it goes into just the very few layers of your, is it epidermis? Oh my gosh, let's go into biology again.
It's going somewhere.
It is. Anyway, it was an interesting experience. I think I'm good. If for those who swear by it and like it and it works for you, that is phenomenal. I don't think I want to try it again. And
but I'm intrigued as to what you came across in your research.
It's like, let's just talk about something else. Let's talk about acupuncture more. Yeah. So when I was doing my quick search, I ran into a couple of the same thing, because I just typed in the Blind Bankers of Edo. I was like, let's see what comes up with that. And I got a picture of a Japanese woman being massaged by a blind masseur. And then I got, I think, a journal article that might be related to what you're talking about. And then I got to Kabuki and how Kabuki started. And I think why it pulled up bank, as in bankers, it pulled up bank because it was referring to the river. I think it was in Kyoto.
Ah.
And where the origins of Kabuki started. And Kabuki, when it started, was not like the Kabuki of today, if those listening are familiar with it. If you're not, it's a very highly stylized, dramatic stage, basically stage play in old Japanese that almost no one can understand now. Everyone has translation devices, not just those of us who can't speak Japanese hardly at all. Everyone has translations and is all done. All the roles are done by men. Well, Kabuki did not start with just men. It seemed to have started with someone else, actually a woman who was doing dancing.
I do want to research it at some point because I want to know how something that was invented by a woman just got banned from it. The thing that they invented, they got banned from performing it. And still to this day, they haven't changed it back for them. Like, if you ask someone these days, like, oh, why can't a woman perform? Oh, that's the rule. It's like, ah, but did you know it was invented by a woman? I didn't know. Like, I feel like a lot of people as well don't realize the origins of Kabuki, even Japanese people.
Didn't realize the origins either. I assumed it was something that has been done for years, but it was about 400 years ago. So in the terms of Japanese history, relatively new-ish, not super modern, not done during Meiji, but a much, much earlier form of art. So I actually wrote down a little note about a topic. So I'm guessing we're going to add this one. And maybe since I've already started, maybe I should go ahead and should keep into that topic because it's really interesting, slightly risque, as sometimes things are, but we should. This is when I encountered it, I was like, this is Thomas. Am I on the right topic? I don't think I am, but maybe you're going to surprise
me. It's led us somewhere new and interesting.
Yeah, I thought you were going to give me a little twist, and no, it was literal.
It was literal bankers.
It's fascinating. The whole topic and the whole idea that the rise and fall of this particular guild, it was such an amazing way to circumvent circumstances that for some people they were born with it or it developed over time or an accident or things that happened, you know, outside of your control, to be able to almost like sidestep the caste system. Hierarchical system. I said it.
Hierarchical. At least someone can talk today.
I don't know how. I haven't had enough coffee today. I don't know where it's coming from. But they were able to just step out. It's so interesting to you found this. And it's,
I think a lot of the time now I just seem to come across stuff when I'm researching one thing, it's just a random sentence like, oh yeah, and of course the blind bankers of Edo. I'm like, wait, no, go back, explain, what do you mean? So then I have to go and find out more.
Like that.
But yes, that was my little insight into the blind bankers of Edo. We'll have to go back and look at the guild as a whole at some point. But anything else from you today?
I think I brought many different topics to the table, none related to the actual topic that we brought up, but I think I'm cool for now.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for tuning into today's episode. We hope you enjoyed it, and we will see you in 2 weeks' time where we will go and continue our dive into the Shinto mythologies, which we haven't done for quite some time. So until then, guys, matane.
Matane.